Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff in for Alan this afternoon. On today's show, we talk sports. We do have a lot to talk about. The Los Angeles Kings hockey team looks like it's going to run away with the Stanley Cup this year, up 3-0 against the Rangers. They play again tomorrow night. On Thursday, football fans will have a field day with the start of the much-anticipated World Cup in Brazil. And there's all sorts of political intrigue and protests and quite a sidebar to this whole World Cup. So we'll talk about that. Also, Donald Sterling back in the news. He's not going to sell the Clippers. There's a lawsuit against the NCAA. We'll talk about that. Let's not forget the fabulous sportsmanship exhibited by the owner of California Chrome after the loss in the Belmont Stakes. Joining us today is director of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication and WAMC sports commentator and communicator, which is what I was going to say, Keith Strudler. Keith, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Want to talk sports with us? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. It's wamc.org/VoxPop. You can also comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can even email us. It's voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Well, Keith, we've had a busy week here. We've had a fun drive. And you've had some busy times, too. You were hanging in New York City at the Fan Cave.
Yeah, a little while ago, a few weeks ago, we were down at the Fan Cave as the Center for Sports Communication is the academic partner for the Sports PR Summit, which is the leading sports PR industry group that brings together some 100 top sports PR marketing and PR executives to have their big day where they share secrets, the secret handshake, and we hung out for that. We got to hear Jeremy Shapps talk, Rick Bucher talk, and play on the slide in the Fan Cave, which I know is something that most of our listeners are probably dreaming about. So all of you that watch the Fan Cave on television, watch these people sit around and watch games, it is exactly like that. You just get paid to sit around and watch games there.
Well, the students must have had a great time.
Oh, we had 10 students working there. It's hard to get them off. They have they have foosball, they've got pool, they have a barber shop built. If I were allowed to build a house without my wife's intervention, it would look like that.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad you made it back in one piece. We are fresh off the fun drive. So let's start, and we'll run through a few of these, and then we'll get to the media issues. But did you see the outburst by the co-owner of California Chrome after the Belmont Stakes?
I did. It felt there were a lot of sour grapes, it felt like.
What was that about? Now, basically, if you hadn't watched this or didn't watch this, he said basically, well, they hold all these horses out for the first two races, and then they're fresh, and they run them, and we lost because of this.
And there's a wonderful counter-argument to that, which is, so the smarter thing to do is run these horses to death, no matter what.
Yeah.
And that was the counter-argument was, hey, these other horses, one had a lung infection, there were other things that were getting in the way, beyond the fact that this has happened for generations anyway. So it was, not only was it callous and stupid, but it really reaffirmed what is my perspective, because I'm,
you're very anti-horse racing.
Yeah. I don't think we should be racing horses. I mean, a lot of you probably watched the HBO Real Sports story on that. Pete has put out a video on this.
Yep.
And we can claim one has an agenda or another has an agenda. Regardless, there's many questions in the industry with drugs, abuse, and so forth. I don't believe in horse racing. I think it should be banned. But the owner of California Chrome coming out and essentially saying we should run these horses no matter what, they are just pieces of property. He reaffirms everything bad that we want to believe about horse racing in the first place.
Well, I was shocked, and he apologized.
Of course.
Too late. All right, so then we'll move quickly to the Knicks. The guru, Phil Jackson, has hired a new coach for the Knicks. He's just finished playing his career as a player. Derek Fisher is the new coach.
I guess they have Nets envy, because they did the exact same thing that the Nets did, which
hire
a smart point guard that's played for in the neighborhood of 80 years.
And he's 39.
Well, but he played before while he was in the womb.
Yeah.
The and hope that they can turn it around, bring in, I guess, as they like say, a player's coach, someone that can get along.
Well, Jackson seems to think this is a first of all, he has a history. They've won championships together in L.A., and so he thinks this is the guy who he can mold in his own image, if you will.
And Fisher's a smart guy. I mean, he was involved with the Players Union.
He was the president of the Players Union.
So there's no doubt that there's a cerebral aspect to Derek Fisher, and you can see why he does it. There's a little part of me, though, that says he's just bringing in a guy who's never done it before so he can basically be the coach, right? That Phil Jackson's like, look, this guy's going to be standing on the sidelines, but I'm going to be in his ear. I'm running the show.
I'll be interested to see how some of the veterans, most notably, Carmelo Anthony, whether, first of all, he says he's going to go opt out and be a free agent.
Sure.
But if he comes back to the Knicks, how he handles somebody he played against many, many times.
Yeah, you know, we'll find out how coachable Carmelo Anthony is. I don't think these are going to be great days for the Knicks ahead. Although the choices of who to hire for coach in the NBA now has become bizarre. You know, the story that came out recently that John Calipari was wooed by the Cleveland Cavaliers only because they thought he could convince LeBron James to go play there. I mean, he was simply a conduit just to bring, you know, he was the pack mule to get LeBron there because they had a relationship, and they were going to pay him $80 million just on the prospect that maybe they could get him back to play there. So the choice of who's going to be an NBA head coach, see, very bizarre to me.
Very strange. And then, you know, Jackson courted Steve Kerr.
Yes.
And he was taken away. And he's never coached a day in his life.
It seems like, and maybe this is just me, but it seems like basketball coaching in the NBA, there should be some form of apprenticeship for that process.
Huh.
You would like to think, but the good news is, and this is what gives me hope, I have not coached yet either. Perhaps I might, too, still be in the market for an NBA head coaching position.
Because
apparently you don't have to be an assistant coach first.
That's probably not going to happen.
No.
All right, Keith Strudler is our guest, and right now he's employed, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, at Marist College, where he is director of the College Center for Sports Communication. He's also a commentator here. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We'll talk briefly about the woeful situation with the Rangers, who haven't played that badly, and then we get on to the World Cup. But let's go to the phones. And Rick in Glenford. Rick, you're on.
Yes, hi. I love the comments so far. Just wondering, you know, Tiger Woods' injury, and we have the U.S. Open coming up this week, and how, you know, my buddies, sports buddies, either they love Tiger or they hate Tiger. I kind of always liked him and what he does for the game. He was like Michael Jordan. Friends of mine that never watch hoops watch Michael Jordan, and people watch golf when Tiger played golf. And you know, the short term, you know, he's not playing. He had an operation. Can you fill me in on that part and any other comments?
Well, he had to have surgery, and that was in essence a means of lengthening his career. Without the surgery, he was largely ineffective. So he's out until he's recovered. It shouldn't be a career-ending surgery, but he's out until he's recovered. Look, there are long-term and short-term problems for golf right now. And the short-term problem is when Tiger's not there, people don't watch. And it's relatively simple.
Until the next big player comes along.
That's going to be a long shot.
Yes and no. I mean, looking at golf's popularity at the peak of the Tiger era versus golf's popularity before that.
Well, what about Nicholas and Palmer and all those guys?
I'm older than you.
Yes,
they're very popular, and Arnold Palmer did, you know, spark a wonderful drink phenomenon, which now has been turned into
delicious.
A colada.
Yes,
and
I'll
so
have an Arnie.
I understand his appeal, but you know, you certainly didn't see the Nikes and some of the major sports networks investing as much as they did in that era.
Well, there was the Johnny Miller collection of clothing, correct?
I love Johnny Miller.
So I think networks are going to start to look long and hard at their ratings. And there also wasn't as many other sports that were grabbing people's eyeballs back then as well. So I think it will be very difficult to appeal to a cross section. This is going to happen to tennis too. If the Williams sisters, that you know, if they fade out, when we lose the superstar American, who's going to watch?
Rick, thanks for the call. I think you have a sky is falling mentality.
Oh, that's the way I live in the moment.
And I think the big players will come along, the Alis and the Michael Jordans. They come along when they come along, and things get propped up. And you know, I think technology has made hockey entirely watchable. I couldn't watch it on TV. I love to go to games. Now that HD is there and I can see the puck, I enjoy watching it again. Golf is the same way. And I think technology changes the whole equation to some extent. As to big players, you know, they will come. And there are those on the horizon in golf.
They may be on the horizon, but while there was a, you know, successor to Michael Jordan, it took a little while. The Grant Hill years weren't so good for the NBA.
All right. Well put. All right, let's take a break here. Keith Strudler is our guest. Back to your calls coming up. It's 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop.
Support for WAMC goes in Washington County Tourism, announcing the 21st annual Whipple City Festival, Greenwich, New York, this weekend, June 14th and 15th. Community event for kids and adults featuring parade, music, 5K race, artisans, food, and more. WashingtonNYCounty.com. United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany, New York. Live United, Give, Advocate, Volunteer. UnitedWayGCR.org. Bistro 63 at the Monkey Bar, downtown Amherst, offering casual lunches and dinners featuring steaks, seafood, cocktails, and wines using local organic products. Banquet facilities and patio dining, bistro63.com. Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts. Their 60th season opening July 2nd with June Moon, directed by Jessica Stone, on the main stage. Box office now open, WTFestival.org. And Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Red Hook, New York. ThirdEyeAssociates.com.
Hey, thanks to everybody who chipped in during the fun drive. It was a miracle, and we enjoyed it, and I hope you are enjoying us back to regular programming. You did wonderful work, everybody, and thanks again. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. Keith Strudler is our guest, and we're blasting through the world of sports here today. New York Rangers, 20 years after they last won the Cup, and before that it was 1940, doesn't look like the Stanley Cup is going to be in New York this year.
No, it does not. And you wonder how much of that seems to be fate and destiny. There's no way the Rangers were going to win last night the way they played, although they seem to have squandered some early opportunities. But those first two games, I mean, how lucky does L.A. have to be? And everyone said coming in, hey, watch out for the Kings. This is the team that sticks in and wins. And you know, that there's this saying that there's no such thing as luck.
You make your own luck.
Yeah, you put yourself in the position to be lucky, I suppose, as they say. But, boy, I'm starting to not believe that.
Well, I think there are teams of destiny, and maybe the Rangers. I mean, listen, those series leading up to this series, the Rangers came back, and they battled, and they fought. And, listen, it's like playing poker. You need a chip and a chair. They have one game. And then if they win this one, they have another game and another game. I don't see it, but it's possible.
I have to say, I secretly, because I'm about to say it on the radio, I just didn't want to give Ranger fans the pleasure listen to that.
You really, you know, they won in 1940, they won in 1994.
My roommate at the time was a huge Rangers fan when I was down in Houston, and I had to leave the house. I had to leave the house when he was watching the Rangers games because he would throw things and he would get violent.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Well, I was just it was
as
well,
long as you don't get hurt, you know.
Well, I had to leave the house, our apartment, which we were both paying rent on.
Yeah.
So I found it. Now I got mine back because the Rockets happened to have beaten the Knicks at the exact same time.
Oh, and I remember that. And thank you for bringing that up. Let's go to Kathleen in Albany. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment on the gentleman who owned the horse that lost the Belmont.
Yeah.
I think he had a really valid point. He was saying that his horse had to go through that grueling thing. And, of course, this horse, my heart was broken. I think the horse just broke. I mean, I just think he ran out of gas. But I think he's right. You know, why should somebody just come in at the end with a rested, fit horse, and unless they want to just kind of dissolve the Triple Crown, because I think the way it is set up now, it's almost impossible for a horse to win the Triple Crown.
Well, there's the 12 of them maybe in history?
Yeah, and it's been, I can't remember how long it's been at this point.
Affirmed? It goes back many years.
Since my daughter was born. It's 1978.
Wow.
It's been a long time. So, you know, of course, the horses can't talk, so we don't know the challenges.
Well, Mr. Ed.
That's true. Mitsuku was not a racehorse.
Right.
He was not a racehorse.
But, I mean, I think the idea that it's an achievable goal is not really realistic anymore because of the way they set it up, that you can bring a horse, a fresh horse in.
Well,
you know, for the third race.
I think there are a lot of things, though, in horse racing that are questionable. The problem with horse racing at a far more existential level is that we don't know what any of these people are doing. You know, we don't know which one of these horses are clean, which one of these
horses.
Well,
they have testing.
They do have testing, but it's very easy to get around that.
Kind
of like people. So it is difficult to win a Triple Crown, no doubt. And I suppose that is the thing that is keeping. There's two things that are keeping people involved in horse racing. That, you know, beyond, you know, you go to the infield, you have a good time,
it's
you have
gambling.
A couple cocktails. It's gambling in the Triple Crown. This is a sport, and I think another problem with the sport is that it's a sport that's driven by gambling, and of course, anything that's driven by gambling is driven by organized crime. And so I think these are...
Well, the other thing, too, is when that horse didn't win the Belmont, he became a lot less valuable.
He became much less valuable. I mean, look, he'll still do fine. He'll stud and make his owner a lot of money and end up in a farm somewhere in Lexington, Kentucky, you know, unlike most of the other horses who race in small tracks,
yeah,
who will end up in a meat factory.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes part of the issue with horse racing is I think that's one of those sports.
Some of the glamour away.
Well, one of the sports where we really see the tip of the iceberg and we see none of the underneath. That's true in almost every sport. You know, I spend some time in the minor leagues of baseball and you see a much less glamorous side of that sport, you know, as well.
But you know, on the plus side, the minor leaguers who don't make it don't go to the, you know,
they don't go to the meat factory.
Exactly.
But many of them do get sent back to the Dominican with next to nothing.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know.
True enough. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Keith Strudler is our guest, and we blast through the worlds of sports today. 1-800-348-2551. World Cup. Now you're a soccer fan. You're a football fan, correct?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not.
Based on your commentaries, you've touched on soccer.
Soccer is, whether I'm a fan or not, soccer is a global language. I mean, I think it's impossible to ignore soccer. Now, I can't say I sit and watch it. I get bored very quickly.
Why? Not enough scoring?
They don't score enough. I live in a world of rules and regulations, and soccer is, you know, while it is the beautiful game, it is very loosely regulated. I don't like the idea that we can get to the end of the game and we still don't know when it actually is over. So that bothers me. The fields aren't all the same size. This is why I love these very regimented American sports.
Okay, is it also an attention span thing that we Americans are more accustomed to? Sport action, sport action, sport action, commercial, commercial, commercial.
Yep.
Go get a beer. Go get some
absolutely
food.
You know, high scoring, fantastic. I think the NBA and the NFL are two very well-oriented American sports.
Constructed for TV.
Yes, constructed for TV, and they highlight finesse and athleticism that's very easily on display. I think soccer, you have to really... Soccer's like a ballet. You have to spend a lot of time learning about it and appreciating it and watching it. Now, that said... you know, we'll find out if this is the time that soccer actually does grab on in America. But unlike past times, the networks certainly are betting on it. And I'm not just talking about ESPN televising the Cup, but you know, you turn on NBC, you turn on Fox, you turn on, you know, major times in America, and they're showing, you know, English Premier League soccer and
are people watching though?
You know, I think enough people are watching. You know, are they watching like they're watching the NFL? Absolutely not.
I mean, if you have 7 or 8 ESPN's The Ocho, as was in that movie where they joked about it, The Ocho, you can put on whatever you want. But if there aren't eyes there, it won't take a full hold. I think it'll have to be a long progression.
I think it's a slow climb. What's problematic a little bit is that the soccer that American networks and young American sports fan, and it is a young viewership that's watching.
Yeah.
The soccer that they're gravitating towards is not American soccer, it's European soccer. So one of the problems is we still haven't figured out a way to make the American Soccer League's big-time sports in America. Now, and this is in certain pockets in this country, we're finding success. In Portland and Seattle and certain places, you certainly find hubs of soccer fans. But we haven't turned this into a mainstream American sport. European soccer, we've gravitated towards.
I was fascinated in doing some, and again, I got to be honest with you, you know, full disclosure, not a soccer buff. But I was doing some research when I knew you were coming today, and I found it interesting that this whole issue of citizenship is, and it's been going on for years, but citizenship now is more of an issue in the World Cup. In other words, the American team has 5, 6, 7 players with either dual citizenship or just got their citizenship here, and some fans are up in arms over that.
You know what's really interesting about this? This is one of the first times that I can remember where this kind of stuff works in our favor. Historically, it's been Americans who have dual citizenship in another country,
right,
that go play on the Greek Olympic team.
Right.
And all of a sudden they have an NBA basketball player. Now it's working in our favor. We don't have enough American-born soccer players who, you know, grew up in our system. So,
that an inherent problem in making it more viable for the casual fan here?
Oh, I think we have to have. I think for soccer to really become mainstream in America, we have to have American-born soccer players. You know, Freddie Adu was supposed to be, you know, the next great thing.
Yeah.
We have to have an American-born soccer player succeed at the highest level, maybe even overseas. We have to have an American-born soccer player go over there and dominate.
Yeah.
We just haven't, you know, Landon Donovan was, you know, I think I saw one program that said he may not have even at his height been one of the 100 best soccer players in the world.
And he was cut, right?
He was cut. He didn't make this year's soccer team. But at his height, he may not have been one of the 100 best soccer players in the world.
All right, Keith Strudler is our guest. We talk sports today on Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Russ in Waterford. Russ.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
As far as horse racing being driven by gambling, you know, you can call me naive, but I think that there are some old families out there who actually still care about the horses that they raise in their barns. I think the Phipps families and some of the older families that are still around, I'm sure they went through a lot of lean years, and I think that something must have driven them as far as caring about their horses a little bit more than just the gambling aspect of it, I think. I could be wrong, but I'd like to think that, I guess.
Yeah, there are all kinds that make up horse racing. There are a lot of people that care deeply about these horses. We actually interviewed a vet who works with thoroughbreds and who lives this very conflicted life because, on the one hand, she loves these animals and she wants to help them. On the other hand, she knows that potentially by putting them into the sport, she is, you know, potentially driving them towards their demise. So I think there are many families that care deeply about these horses and will, you know, keep them forever and, you know, and no matter, you know, even when their racing days are done, will take care of them. The reality is, though, there are just so many horses in this industry. Take away the horses that race for the big money races and the derbies and the Triple Crown races and go to the sidetracks and the harness racing and these places where they really are just racing for dough. That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
They're racing for money. And those horses, you know, they are not going to be cared for. The owners certainly don't have the money to do it, nor do they have the interest. So, you know, again, you're right. They're obviously are people who do care about their horses deeply. The reality is there's just too many horses out there.
And, you know, I am somewhat of a horse racing fan, and I will tell you that you know, as much as I thought that the owner of California Chrome, he had a valid point to make, and he should have just left it alone when he made his point, and he didn't. But, you know, in the horse racing business, there is a way to avoid some of this. And a lot of major races, if you do not qualify for a particular major race, if you want to put your horse in, you have to supplement that horse. You have to pay $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, depending on the race, in order to get your horse in the race. I think that the Derby has a point system. So once they get in on points, they should have a free pass for the Triple Crown. But if you want to bring somebody along, then force the owners to pay a cash supplement, and maybe they won't be as quick to bring in a new horse.
Well, that's interesting. You know, the Triple Crown. Now you're a racing fan, Russ, and I'm very casual about it. I've been to the track maybe twice in 30 years.
Yeah.
The Triple Crown is just a loose conglomeration of three events that were already there, though, right? In other words, the Belmont and the Kentucky Derby and what's the other one?
The Preakness. The only one I've been to.
Those three were already in existence. The Triple Crown is just sort of, if you win all three, it's the Triple Crown, right? Or is there
That's correct.
Okay,
that's correct.
So then what would stop somebody from saying, well, I don't like those other two races. I'm just going to run in the Belmont.
Right. Well, I suppose they can make...
Well, there's absolutely nothing to stop them. But, I mean, I think that in the interest of fairness, if the racing industry is going to hold this thing out there as being the Triple Crown, the chalice that everyone is chasing, then if you have to, if you're forced to be 3 years old and have a point system, have to have so many qualifying races to make the Derby, I think you should do something to make it a little more restrictive on the other two legs. I mean, it's the people's interest in the horse racing industry that you're right, that created this quote unquote Triple Crown. But I mean, at least make it a little bit more difficult. Not difficult. Let's use the analogy of leveling the playing field a little bit.
Interesting.
I think it levels the playing field.
Well, Russ, great call. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. Max in Dutchess County. Max, you're up.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I don't normally call in. I work in the business, so I'm using an anonymous name, and people may recognize my voice, and that's okay.
Okay.
Let me respond to the woman who I called in earlier. First of all, the Triple Crown is based on a point system, okay?
Right.
And you cannot pay a supplement to get into this Triple Crown. You have to achieve the entries based on points that you achieved in other races throughout the year, coming from a two-year-old on up, okay?
All right.
So it's like it would be equivalent to the Grand Slam in tennis. You don't have to play every tennis match, but you have to compete in so many to be able to run in any of those three races.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
So, and of course, it's the history of the Triple Crown for the horses that are the best horses that make it there.
Yeah.
You don't have to run in every race.
Right. It's like a tennis. You know, when you to be in the majors, like you said, you can play in the French, you can sit out Wimbledon, but you just have to keep your ranking up at a certain level to be able to do that. Otherwise, you have to
right.
go on the qualifier circuit.
You cannot pay a supplemental to get into the Triple Crown. You have to have run certain races to be able to get into the Triple Crown.
All right, Max, you say that you are in the business. What do you make of Steve Coburn's comments immediately post the loss?
Well, I think, number one, if you're playing in our sport, and let's not call it a game, and it's not based on gambling, okay? It's a sport. It's been a sport for hundreds of years. I think the first Kentucky Derby was 1875, if I'm correct. And I think that, number one, the media should not have put the microphone in his face right away. I think that was totally uncalled for. First of all, it's an emotional ride, and the media should not have shoved the cameras and the microphones in his face for a remark, because what else is he going to say? He's upset his horse didn't win, but he also was a very sore loser. This is a game of winning and losing, and you have to be a good sport. You have to be a good loser in any sport. My son's an avid hockey player. You know, they just won a championship in his division. But if he didn't win, he has to be a good sport to be a loser. You have to be both.
Boy, you know what? That is wisdom. Max, thanks very much for the call.
I'm going to learn a lot about horse racing before the show.
You know,
over.
And you and I, we're not horse.
We're not, I don't bet on the ponies.
We have a list of topics.
Yeah, I thought we were going unionization. I thought we were talking Ed O'Bannon.
I'm
ready to go horse racing.
We're going to do right after the break. Yeah. But let's go to Ricky, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about this Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. All right.
Do we have Carol?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have gone to Carol. Hello, is this Ricky or Carol?
This is Ricky.
Hey, Ricky, you're up. I'm sorry, Carol. You'll be next. Go ahead, Ricky.
Okay. Great. I just want to say that the Triple Crown is a specific three-race game, and if they want to change the rules and not let horses that haven't been in the first two legs of it race, I think they need to change it. I think they need to start another three-race competition and don't call it the Triple Crown. Otherwise, you strip the horses that have won it, the great horses, Secretariat, and the other horses that have won the Triple Crown of their great achievements.
Okay.
You know.
Well said. You can make the Quadruple Crown.
I'd look at you. Because horse racing is not brutal enough. Just
start another contest. Just don't call it the Triple Crown, because the Triple Crown is specifically what your last person just said. It'll
be like the USFL.
It's been around for a long time.
Well,
yep. Thank you.
Good point, Ricky. Okay. Thanks very much. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. All right, let's do one more on the Triple Crown here. Go to Carol, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Carol. You're up.
Hi there. Okay. I agree in great measure with the owner of the horse. I know everybody's going to hate me. I was so upset that all of these jockeys really boxed in that horse. Yeah, they do it all the time, but, oh, it was so bad. Okay, why don't because it's awfully difficult for horses to run three races in that very short period of time. I think it's 5 weeks. Why don't they just keep the Triple Crown as it is? I adore it, but move the Belmont Stakes ahead another month. Why does it have to be on the date it's on?
But getting back to what Ricky just said, the caller previous, that would change the old equation for all those horses, the 12 or however, 20, I don't know how many wanted
them. Well, I mean, they won at their time. My God, weren't they fabulous to have won when they did? Well, who knows what was going on then. But I don't know why that would change the formula for them. They won. But beginning with, let's say, next year or the year after, the Belmont Stakes is just not at the fifth week after, a Derby. It's maybe the ninth week or the tenth week. And give all the horses that ran in the Derby and the Preakness a chance to get back to being their own selves so they can represent their own selves well in the final round.
Maybe like
that's
a vacation.
That's my idea.
Spa day. Look, they do change rules for in sports all
the
time.
Baseball, the dead ball era, and everything else.
They change when they do championships, the length of the season. You know, the Miami Dolphins went undefeated when there were only 14 games in the season. So they do change this kind of stuff. But again, you know, look, it's hard for me to speak to the veracity of the Triple Crown because I think they should ban the sport. But don't think they should do anything that makes it more difficult for the horses as it is. Right now, I think one of the existential questions is going to be, is this too difficult already? So adding any more barriers to the horse would be difficult. Now, I will also say this. I had a girlfriend in high school and in college who had a horse, and I was scared to death of it.
Uh-huh. So this is the psychological reason behind the whole thing, and now we're getting to the crux of it. We're making some progress, Mr. Strudler, and we'll be back for our
just
next
bill
session.
Bill me. I have insurance.
Yes, exactly. It's Fox Pop on WAMC. Some psychoanalysis coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers. nature.org/Adirondacks. Lori Stilwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StilwellCPA.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Iron and Wine June 22nd, Beck June 24th, Jason Isbell August 15th, and the Fresh Grass Festival featuring Emmylou Harris September 19th through 21st. MassMocha.org. The community of Manchester, Vermont, offering a blend of arts, recreation, shopping, dining, and lodging in a historic Vermont setting. Experience ManchesterVermont.com. And the Georgian Lakeside Resort in the heart of Lake George Village. Vacations, getaways, dining at Giovanna's on the lake, lakefront patio, and cabana bar, georgianresort.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Keith Strudler is here. And, well, Keith, Donald Sterling says he'll sue the NBA after all. It's a reversal. The Clippers owner will pursue a $1 billion federal lawsuit against the NBA, and he said the team sale is off. And before we get back to the Triple Crown, I thought we'd touch on it at least.
You wonder how much it's just that he's a little loony, or how much is kind of a perverse joy that he's taking in this, or how much does he think that maybe he's right? I don't know.
I'd say all of those things.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to get inside his head and figure out what's actually going on. There's the other side. Look, he's making $2 billion off the sale of this team. So he's monetarily, he's doing fine. This lawsuit seems to have the feel of, I'll take it to you. I'll take my money, and then I'll make it miserable for you as well. I'll spend that money on a lawsuit. I can afford some lawyers right by now.
All right, and then we'll get right back to the phones and your Triple Crown horse racing calls at 1-800-348-2551.
We're doing the trifecta line today, right?
Yes, we are, and we'll have our picks coming up a little later in the show.
Excellent.
But before we get back to the phones, and hang in there, Anthony and Ray, just wanted to touch on this one, which I know interests you, and this is the O'Bannon lawsuit against the NCAA. Just quickly lay this out for us, and where do you see this going?
So this is Ed O'Bannon, has a former player for UCLA, big-time basketball, star for UCLA, is suing the NCAA for the use of his likeness in video games and otherwise.
Right.
And his lawsuit, potentially unlike other lawsuits of this ilk, is he's not just asking for money. He's saying you need to change the rules. This lawsuit, because there was a recent lawsuit that was settled where the NCAA gave out some money.
And
everyone,
just recently,
just
yesterday?
Recently.
Or
that's not what Ed O'Bannon's asking for, which I think people assume he has more selfish motives. He's saying you need to change the rules. We're going to change how the NCAA operates. And so that's why I think the NCAA is fighting this one so tooth and nail, because this is the one that changes their business model.
This is open market for ballplayers at that point.
To some degree, at least. This is going to change the conversation about what colleges can and can't do. The others have just been writing out some checks, which the NCAA can easily absorb.
So we'll see what happens with that, and it may be some time before it's in the Circuit Court of Appeals.
Oh yeah,
this thing
will go on. I mean, your kids will be talking about this lawsuit,
or they'll be talking about the Triple Crown.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's go
to Anthony in Dutchess County. Anthony, you're up.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Good. I was calling in reference to the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to point out was California Chrome's owners. He had said that comment long before California Chrome lost to Belmont. He had said that he thought it was unfair from the get-go that to bring a fresh horse into the Belmont Stakes after all these other horses are on such a grueling campaign, that he thought that was unfair long before California Chrome ever lost the race. You know, my opinion on the subject is, if you go and change the rules now, like one of the callers said, it takes away from all the horses that have achieved this in the past. It's supposed to be, the greatest horses out there. Come bring your best horse against, the leading horse.
I see your point. But I also see
it's all
Keith...
comers. It's all challengers.
It's like a boxing
movie.
That's going
to show who the best horse is.
But I also see Keith's point. Keith brought up the point, sports have changed over the years. And so when Babe Ruth was hitting the baseball, there were different rules. And in the dead ball era, there were different rules in baseball. Then you had smaller parks. And many things change over the time. And you kind of put the records in perspective. Could that be a case here where they give the horses a week or two?
If you're going to change anything, like the way they say, you need a certain amount of points to get in the Derby. Well, then, to run the Belmont, you should have to run in the Derby. If you want to skip the Preakness for the horses down this, because it is hard to bring a horse back to the track 2 weeks later. Some horses need a lot more time to recuperate than that, Plus, they're being shipped to three different states on three different surfaces at three different distances all within 5 weeks. So that's what's so grueling about it. That's what makes it a championship.
And I've heard with
it. That's what makes it, So to go and bring a fresh horse in is a little, it ain't proven anything to me but winning a purse.
Yeah, I've heard that they don't even get to fly first class anymore with the new airline regulations, and they have to pay for their own carry-on bags.
Oh, cut it out.
Yeah, no, it's true.
But, I mean, in the old days, they didn't fly.
They didn't. These are all valid points, but it's really going to be hard to mandate horses racing in one race to get into another race because activists like myself will have a field day with this. You're pushing these horses too far. It also could vastly diminish the field that ends up in the Belmont. And the other thing, that we haven't really looked into, you can't I mean, as much as we'd say, hey, let's move the Belmont, you can't really move the Belmont because that weekend is etched in stone in the economies of those towns and networks.
Yeah,
this is not something that's easily done. So the reality is those things are going to stay where they are because, as I contended at the onset, horse racing's not a sport. It's a business built around gambling and drinking
it's
and
both.
All the things you do.
It's both. Yeah. It's a business and it's a sport. It's both.
Well,
it's
I mean, all the big sports are businesses,
yes,
as well.
Certainly.
And,
right,
and also
right,
football
right.
is driven
yes.
by gambling
oh,
as well.
Absolutely.
Right, right. They're all businesses and they're all sports at the same time.
Hey, Anthony, thanks a lot for the call. I tell you what, did you ever expect that you and I would be fielding this many calls on horse racing today?
No. I didn't in my life, actually.
All right, well, let's keep it going. We're on a roll
yes.
here. Ray in Wilton, you're up. Ray.
Let's not do dog racing next time.
Yes,
really
hello?
Definitely no dog racing. You're
yes.
up, Ray.
Hello?
Hello.
I can't hear you very clear, but
okay.
I just want to say that I don't even think there's any valid points. That owner was pathetically sore loser, and he looked – I mean, even his wife nudged him. First of all
– Well, yeah, if you're married, you know what that's all about.
Let me explain something. They could put California Chrome in, brand new, rested against Secretariat, and Secretariat would have left them in the dust. In the Belmont, just like he did the other horses. The other thing you have to understand, there were new horses put into races when Affirmed ran and Secretariat ran. These horses were great. They beat them. Do you remember seeing Secretariat in the Belmont?
I do.
Oh, my God. That's why it's a great horse. California Chrome was a good horse, bought cheap. They're lucky that they even made it to the Derby in the Preakness. He expected to get that because I don't know what was in his mind. It's a Triple Crown because they're super horses. Seattle Slew, Secretariat Affirmed. Give me a break. California Chrome didn't make it. Pick up your marbles and go home if you don't like the way the racing was done. Yes, it's gruesome, but look at Secretariat. There were new horses put in those races. How good did they do against Secretariat?
You lay it on the line, man. Beautiful.
I can't speak to. I don't know. I don't have because I haven't seen many of these races.
To be fair,
horse racing documentaries.
We don't really follow the horse racing.
Closely. I know they do movies about the horses, and the horses are largely personified at that point. So if the horses could talk, I'd be a lot more comfortable.
I
will say this in terms of the owner, you know, mouthing off in front of the cameras. You should know. I don't mind them putting a camera. You are the owner of a horse that's racing for the Triple Crown. What do you think they're going to be focusing on? This is like Michael Jordan saying, not right now.
And you're right. And I would take exception with the caller who said they had no business putting a microphone.
What am I going to focus on?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's the story. The horse doesn't talk. The owner does. So, you know, that's
right,
the face
you are,
of the
Wilbur.
Right, that's
all right.
Right.
Let's go to Kathy in Richmond. Kathy, you're up.
Hey, I just want to say that if you restrict that the Triple Crown to only the horses that have all run,
yeah.
it's really expensive to ship these horses all over the place. If I'm a horse owner and I've come in second to last and last, I'm not going to ship my horse to the last race, and you end up with a three-horse race.
Well, then you have a much better shot at a Triple Crown, I suppose, at that point. It's just a race of attrition.
You know?
Yeah,
and that changes the race altogether.
Are you a racing fan?
No, I've seen the inside of horse racing. I think it's ugly.
Yeah, I think Keith
is with you
there.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kathy.
I'm a horse lover, but not a horse racing lover.
Yes. And my girlfriend, just to from high school and college, because I know people are sitting on the end of their seat about this, she wasn't a horse racer. She was she showed horses. She like jumping horses.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
And that frightened you?
The horse was, I don't consider horse. I love horses. I don't consider them to be the most intelligent beings, and you're putting yourself on top of them and giving them a lot of faith. I feel like it's a big risk to take.
You've taken a shot at the intelligence of horses. Kathy, thank you very much. Hey, how about a call not about horses? Andrea, you're up.
Andre.
Oh, Andre, I'm sorry. How you
That's
doing?
Okay. Switching gears a little bit, the French Open, which just finished this past weekend, was a tournament of some wonderful tennis played by some incredibly gifted individuals who have entertained the tennis world for years. Speaking of Rafa Nadal, Djokovic, and of course Roger Federer, my favorite from Switzerland. These are high caliber players who offer incredible athletic skill and artistry, and they've been competing at such a high level for many years. I and in a few weeks we'll be treated to Wimbledon. As you can probably tell, I'm a lover of tennis.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are great athletic venues, and the players that come to those tournaments are some of the most skilled players around. I was wondering if you had any comments about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are great days for tennis. Nadal will go down. I mean, you're seeing certainly two, if not three, of the top 10 tennis players in the history of the game playing right now.
It's got a long history.
It's got a long history, but these are, I mean, 14, I believe, Rafa's won majors. I think Federer's 17.
Correct.
These are legendary players who have played when the sport is grueling and athletic, and there are a lot of people playing. The problem in the U.S. is there are no Americans, certainly on the men's side, and we really, really have lost interest. I think the game is very good as it's ever been, if not better. But Americans just don't seem to care right now. And it was a wonderful tournament, it's problematic.
Right.
And I think we will see problems on the women's side if we don't have an emergent American star.
Have the ratings been down? I haven't followed that.
I haven't seen this year's ratings, but I imagine that they certainly have. I know Americans still, they love Federer, but they are certainly down from the Sampras days and the Agassi days when they were duking it out. So,
right.
Yeah,
I think another interesting point, too, is John McEnroe being a commentator. He adds such a deep level of understanding and love for the game. It's always, for me, a pleasure to listen to him analyze and give commentary on all the different players.
Yeah, he's great. I push for him to be on Monday Night Football.
he would be great.
He'd be fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, you know, getting to McEnroe and Jimmy Connors and
Arthur Ashe.
But some of these guys with huge personalities, are the personalities as big as they were as I remember them when I was a kid?
I mean, you don't see it certainly with Federer. I mean, you know, Djokovic is certainly.
Von Lendl. I mean, they had these wars.
Lendl was, you know, he was the surly
right.
Eastern European. Yeah, I don't think we have that in the same degree right now. And Agassi had a lot of personality. I think they are, you know, as we like to say, postmodern stars. They are marketers. Kind of machinery, and so they don't get overly outspoken. They aren't, you know, they aren't McEnroe, they aren't Connors. They don't tick people off the same way that they used to, and they sell watches and razors.
Yeah,
you know?
Why not? All right, Andre, who do you like in the Wimbledon tourney?
Well, I think we have to go with those top four picks as being the favorites at this point. Personally, I would like to see Federer win number 18 because I think he should do the classy thing like Pete Sampras did and maybe retire gracefully pretty soon.
That would be nice. He's such.
Yeah.
Watching him at his peak, it was like he played tennis one way and everyone else played it another way. He covered the entire court and it never seemed strained. You know, when you watch some of the other players, it seemed at times herky-jerky. They struggled. It was graceful. Everything he did was graceful.
And Sampras retired very young, if I recall, right?
Younger. He had a lot of injury problems. I mean, he had nothing left in the tank. I don't think it wouldn't have gone well in the afterlife. Agassi was able to have a second act, but Sampras played so hard. I mean, he served so
As
hard.
As does Nadal. Nadal is out there fighting for every swing, every point.
But isn't it amazing how he's come back from the injury problems?
It's a credit to his character. I think the family life that I've heard about that he has and just his determination. He is a true champion.
And look at Sharapova also coming back from really tough injury.
Indeed.
So there are some great storylines in tennis. The problem is Americans aren't watching tennis right now.
Well, I know. And so I appreciate you allowing me to put this little sideline into the horse races.
Well, you could have called
now,
us a lot earlier.
Now, the horses could play tennis. That would be something.
There you go.
That would be something.
They would call it polo.
Hey.
Yeah, I suppose they have that.
All right. Hey, Andre, thanks a lot. Who do you like on the women's side?
Well, of course, Sharapova is wonderful, and Serena, you know, can never count her out.
You think
sure.
the Williams sisters are on the downward slope at this point?
Well, their age, I think, is a factor at this point, but what a wonderful career they both have, and what wonderful, you know, credit to the sport of tennis that they've both brought. So I'm very grateful for their involvement.
Well, great call. Thank you. And that's a nice way to end the program. Mr. Strudler, what is your Twitter? How do we hit you on Twitter?
At Keith, K-E-I-T-H, Strudler, S-T-R-U-D-L-E-R. So at Keith Strudler.
I know I follow you. And then once I put it in the system, I forget what you're
actual. I know. Please. I am so bored. So just tweet at me all the time. I will reply.
All right. We're out of time. Thanks to everybody who called in. I appreciate it. It was an interesting show today. I learned a lot about horse racing that I...
Yes. I've been taking notes.
All right, fair enough. Support comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume, and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition, LLC.com. Curtis Lumber, working to support their communities through their Pet Connection sponsorship and by providing professional consultations to homeowners and contractors, CurtisLumber.com. The Georgian Lakeside Resort in the heart of Lake George Village, vacations, getaways, dining at Giovanna's on the lake, lakefront patio and cabana bar, GeorgianResort.com. And Mannix Marketing, since Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, a web design and internet marketing firm working to help businesses get found on the internet, mannixmarketing.com. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was at the controls. Bruce Herbach answered the calls today. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff, in for Alan Shartok. Tomorrow, it's estate planning and elder law. Stay tuned now for a news update.